switch of letters there. But we're so grateful for all that Andrea does in order to keep us going. She spends many hours getting things ready. And of course, you come to a Sunday morning and you put things on and things go, oops, they get stuck. And she finds a way around that. I'm so grateful for all that she's been doing to keep us going with this. And just give her a heads up and a thanks whenever you have an opportunity. It's a lot of things that she's doing for us. Well, what does Jesus pray for? We tend to be very selfish in our prayers. We like to pray for miracles because, after all, that takes away our personal responsibility. God has to do it now. We like to pray for healing. Well, because, you know, we're sort of broken here and there, and we want to be well. We don't like the pain of things being a problem along the way. Usually we pray for someone else, so it's unselfish, right? We gather together and we're always praying for someone else's surgery or someone else's grief or whatever else it might be. And so, get the wiggle out of the camera here. that was my fault. I had my stand against the camera, so wiggling it a bit more than it needed to be. Well, when we pray, we tend to pray for what we want. We tend to pray for the material things. We tend to pray for things that make us happy. Right now, when we're so tired of being held back, we're so tired of being housebound, we're anxious to get out of the house, we're anxious to get back to normal activities, including worship. We know that businesses need to reopen soon. We know that they need to be able to survive, and restaurants and service businesses need to get their employees back on the job and do all those things that they do best. The hospitality and the travel industry needs a way to restart successfully. We have all of these things that are a real challenge, and we tend to pray for those because, well, they make us happier. Most of us would rather ignore the pandemic and refuse to believe we could get sick, go back to face-to-face gatherings. We have to be careful of that. Even though our president says we're back, many observers who are very careful about what they see believe it's too soon. As I shared earlier, I do believe that it's still too soon for the church because of the ease in which we would share the virus with one another. So what does Jesus pray for? He prays that God would be glorified, that he will fulfill the mission, and that God the Father is given, and that the mission will be continued through his disciples. And so first, he prays that God the Father would be glorified. John 17, verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, he lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you." Well, Jesus speaks directly to God the Father here. It's an example to us. Put God first on your prayer list for those things that need to happen. But what Jesus prays for is not what we might pray for. He speaks directly to God the Father, but he knows where he is in the time scheme. He knows what time it is. He knows that the cross is next. And as he prays to God, he prays that the Father would complete what he cannot. He says, "Glorify your Son," which in the Gospel of John means that Jesus is asking God the Father to complete the sacrifice by nailing Jesus to the cross in payment for our sins. Father, glorify your Son. Can you imagine? Jesus, the Son of God, asking his Father to sacrifice him. Why? That's the whole reason he came, was to give himself for us. Father, glorify your Son. Release him to the cross. And because of that, Jesus prays that he will be able to fulfill his part. He says that the Son may glorify you. He wants to glorify God with his own actions. That's because there's a mission here. And the mission is to give life. In John 17, verses 4 to 5, Jesus says, I glorified you on earth, having accomplished the work that you gave me to do. And now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had with you before the world existed. Oh, Jesus says, on earth, I finished the work. I finished the job you gave me to do. I have spread your word. I have gathered some disciples. I have done those things that needed to do. The cross is needed so that sins can be forgiven. Jesus came in order to give eternal life to all who believed. I jumped ahead there on finishing the work. But as he worked on earth, he showed the love of God to the world. He showed the power of God over any sickness or disability. And Jesus reminded everyone of the authority of God over the worship of his name. And so he prays to return to his rightful place in heaven. As we back up to verse 2, the mission is to give life. And Jesus said, since you have given him, in other words, the Son, authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. See, when Jesus prayed that God would be glorified, when Jesus prayed that he would be able to fulfill his part, he did this because in his actions, he wanted to complete his own mission. The cross is needed so that sins can be forgiven. He came in order to give eternal life. John 3:16, once again, for the God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might live. The mission is life. Life eternal, Jesus says here in verse 3, is that we know you, Father God, that we believe in Jesus Christ as his ambassador, as the one bringing the message. And here, Jesus takes on the Messiah, or the title of Messiah, as he faces the cross. He hasn't used that title of himself very often. He's talked about the Son of Man. Later, he talked about the Son of God. And now he says, I am Jesus Messiah, Jesus Christ, and I came to face the cross, to finish the work. And so, Father, glorify you. He moved ahead and said, gave a report on his disciples in his prayer. Well, gives a report so that we might know it, so his disciples might know it, and so that he might unburden his heart by saying, God, this is what you sent me for. I believe I've completed this mission. Verses 6 and 7 in John chapter 17. He says, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of this world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me. And they have kept your word. Now they know everything that you have given me is from you. Well, the disciples were drawn together because God the Father brought them. No one comes to the Father except through me, says Jesus, but God the Father brings us to Jesus. Jesus knows that. He says, Father, these are the people you gave me. And as disciples of Jesus, we are called out of this world, just as these disciples were. These people you gave me out of the world. And as disciples of Jesus, Jesus knows that God has first claim on our lives. They are yours. And you gave them to me. They have kept your word. Jesus knows that his disciples have listened and they have heard. He knows that they are a gift of God for the work in the world. The disciples have learned that Jesus is Messiah, Son of God, Son of Man, full of the power of heaven, who says, I can do nothing except what the Father tells me to do. They know it comes from God. Now that's part of knowing Jesus well enough to know where eternal life comes from. It is a gift of God through his Son, Jesus Christ, who is glorified on the cross that we might have eternal life. Jesus has called together his disciples so that they might know this truth. We need to know this gospel in order to share this gospel. They needed to know this good news in order to share this good news. And Jesus goes on to say that his disciples have believed. And this is John chapter 17, verse 8. As he says, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Well, what is a disciple? A disciple is one who hears and receives the word of God through Jesus. Jesus is saying that of those that are gathered around him listening to this prayer in the upper room, but he's also saying that to us, or it never would have stayed in the Bible these 2,000 years. Jesus calls us his own, as well as those who are gathered in his room, if we are his disciples. He gives us the words that come from God the Father, so that we might receive those words, that we might know this God who loves us, that we might receive the word of God through Jesus, who is the eternal word. And disciples also know fully that Jesus is not just a man. They know that he came from God. They know that he is the Son of God. Knowing the truth of what it means when Jesus says, I came from you. Oh yes, I was born, I grew up in this land, but the truth is I came from you. I would not be here, God, except for you. That's the truth of the gospel. They have believed that. The disciples believe the whole mission is come from God. It's not just an idea of Jesus, a man on earth. It's the plan of the eternal God forever. As disciples, we learn that. We begin to know that. We begin to share that. We begin to look in the eyes of those who are lost and say, did you know that God loves you so much? He sent his one and only Son to sacrifice his life to pay for your sins so you don't have to, so that you might have eternal life through the gift of God to you. Did you know that God loves you that much? That's our good news, and that's what you need to hear right now. It's good news for you, and I trust you are able to share that good news in many ways with others. Well, Jesus goes on to pray for his disciples. In verse 9, he says, I am praying for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. What does Jesus pray for? He prays for his disciples. He says, I am praying for them. He's praying for us. Did you know that? The Son of God, seated at the right hand of power in the heavenly places, is praying for you right now. He's praying for us. He's praying that our witness in this world would be pure. He's praying that our lives would be secure. He's praying that our hope would remain strong. He's praying that we would continue the mission that he began on earth. He's praying for us. He's praying for our witness. He doesn't say right now he's praying for the world, because as he's preparing to meet the cross, he is praying for the witness of his own disciples in the world. Because right now, until the end of time, our witness is what wins people back from the grasps of the enemy. Our witness of God, whose grace and love covers all, is the important thing that we share. What does Jesus pray for? He prays that the work of God will continue in the world through me, through you, and through all. Why? Because we are his. The work of God will continue as his disciples know whose they are. So what does Jesus pray for? Not for release from trouble. Jesus does not pray for escape from his enemies. He does not pray to limit his own suffering. He does not pray for any other selfish thing. He prays that God be glorified. He prays that he would be able to fulfill his mission even through the glorification that he faces on the cross. He prays that eternal life be given. That is the mission in the first place, because the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus comes that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And that's John chapter 10, verse 10. Jesus does not pray for any selfish thing. He prays that the mission of God be fulfilled. The mission he began, that it might continue. That mission might continue in us and through us for the purposes of God, to give witness of God's love in this world that has turned its back. So he prays for us. He prays for his disciples. He prays that the mission continue. And I pray for us as well. For that's our goal as his in the world. He later on in this prayer, we'll get to that later, he doesn't say, take them out of this world. He says, keep them in this world and keep their message strong. We are his disciples if we know who he is, if we have accepted his grace, especially now after the cross, if we have asked for forgiveness in his name, that we might be all that God has designed us to be, that we might know him who made us, who calls us, who loves us, who renews us, who saves us, who gives us eternal life, and that that message would never wane as we share it with one another. This is a world of sin and death, but Jesus calls us to be an answer of life through the gift of God. May that be a strong witness in you. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for the reality that you have come into our lives through Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have done what we cannot do. We thank you that you have held us firm and that you have planned for us a future and a hope. We thank you that although our enemy tries to steal and kill and destroy, Jesus has come to give us life. Lord, he has been the life giver as a channel of that eternal life that comes from you. Father, help us to continue to channel your life to others, not as some medium, but instead as someone who trusts in who Jesus is, in who you are as God the Father, and simply shares that good news so that the love of God would be known, and as they pray to you, that love would be fully experienced, that eternal life would become theirs. We bless you, Lord. We thank you. We ask for your work to continue, even in this terribly broken world, Father, that you would continue to bring healing and hope and restoration. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So join us as we